Hello, this is Marcia Clenard with the Decatur Herald Review for Friday, August 17th, 2018. We're going to begin today with a lead story in the paper on page one. It's a transportation article. J-turn may curb danger. Plan changes that make an interstate a first for the state. The Illinois Department of Transportation said safety improvements it has planned for the intersection of US 51 and West Andrews Street Road at Macon will be an innovative first for the state and make the intersection significantly safer. The intersection near the P&V Quick Stop at 399 East Andrews Street in Macon will be transformed from a conventional expressway intersection with stop signs on both sides of Andrews Street Road into a J-turn intersection, which will require drivers to turn right onto US 51 and make a U-turn at a one-way median opening at either side of the main intersection. IDOT engineers and representatives introduced proposed changes to the intersection Thursday afternoon during an open house style meeting at the Macon Community Center, 1039 South Woodcock Road. The department is tentatively planning to start constructing the new intersection in either the summer or fall of 2019. There's no time or anything on the completion schedule yet, because we're not that far into the design of it yet, said Mark Dougherty, studies and plans engineer for IDOT District 7, which includes Macon County. But we know it can be built within one construction season. The construction of the J-turn intersection will be the latest safety improvement that IDOT will make to the US 51 and West Andrews Street Road intersection, which has long been regarded by county officials and lawmakers as hazardous. Despite the improvements, a number of crashes have happened there since IDOT expanded the busy US 51 from two lanes to four in the early 2000s. Most recently, the intersection was the site of a two-vehicle crash between a pickup truck and a semi-truck in July, in which no one was injured. In September, Phil Jacobs Sr., 80, of Pena, was involved in a crash in which he suffered injuries that took his life 8 days later. Past safety improvements made to the intersection included reducing the speed of US 51 from 65 miles an hour to 55 miles an hour, installing yellow flashing beacons and signage, and adding LED flashing stop signs, radar speed signs, and pavement stripping on US 51. Greg Jamerson, IDOT's District 7 Program Development Engineer, said US 51 will mostly remain the same when the J-turn is installed. The changes will primarily restrict through traffic and left turn movement on West Andrews Street Road, he said, meaning that drivers will no longer be able to cross Andrews Street Road when headed east or south. Instead, drivers will have to make a right turn, drive along US 51, and make a U-turn using a special lane designated for vehicles to do so legally. Then, Jamerson said, drivers can make a right turn onto Andrews Street. Drivers will also have to use the U-turn lanes when turning left onto US 51 from Andrews Street Road. What this does is that it doesn't make the driver have to cross four lanes at once, Jamerson said. A driver doesn't have to judge gaps permanently. It's going to force somebody to become more aware of what kind of traffic they're crossing. J-turns are more common in states such as Missouri and Minnesota, according to Jamerson and Dougherty. Statistics from those states show that J-turn intersections have helped reduce traffic crashes at major expressways, Jamerson said, and those results are what pushed IDOT to propose building its first full-fledged J-turn in Macon. We think this will increase the safety of this intersection tremendously, Jamerson said. That's what we expect to happen, and if this is successful and we have the reduction in crashes, that's really what we're after. Throughout the time that IDOT representatives were at the community center, Macon residents and other community members were invited to learn more about the proposed changes and to provide feedback about them. Among those who came to learn more about the changes were Norma Jacobs of Pena and her son, Phil Jacobs Jr. Last September, the US 51 and Andrew Street Road intersection was the site of a fatal two-vehicle crash involving Norma Jacobs and her husband, Phil Jacobs Sr. Phil Jacobs, a retired Herald and Review writer and photographer, died 8 days after the September 4th crash from injuries that he suffered. Andrew J. Johnson, 29, of Decatur, was convicted September 28th of a failure to yield at the intersection in that crash. Almost 1 year after the crash that killed her husband, Norma Jacobs said her road to recovery has been long and ongoing. She said she wanted some kind of change to come to the intersection, preferably in the form of a traffic signal. But IDOT has said installing one could introduce more crashes to the intersection. Despite this, Norma Jacobs said that any change is better than no change at all. The J-turn might be something throughout the whole state to you, she said, and then we can work on getting rid of the human frailties or whatever's wrong. As a firefighter with the Mount Zion Fire Department, Phil Jacobs Jr. said he's responded to his fair share of crashes at the Macon intersection. He said he thinks that the changes could be good for the intersection, despite it being something the state hasn't seen before. I think this is just an out-of-the-box thinking. It's a safe idea, and I'm just excited about the change, Phil Jacobs Jr. said. I think it's a positive change in the right direction for that road. It will most likely take some time and effort for many drivers to get used to the J-turn intersection when it is finished, Jamerson said, but in the end, it would be for the better. The U-turn lanes adds what our analysis shows as 20 seconds to the movement through the intersection, Jamerson said. But we believe that 20 seconds of adverse travel is worth the increased safety for this design. This next article, also on the front page of the newspaper today, is related to the first one. It's entitled, Decatur Driver Accused in Two Fatal Crashes to Return to Court in October. The Decatur man charged in a US 51 crash that left two people dead in DeWitt County is set to return to court in October. 2 months earlier, the same man was involved in a fatal crash on US 51 in Macon on September 4, 2017, a case that has since been resolved. Police have said Andrew J. Johnson, 29, failed to yield at a stop intersection in both cases. Three people died in the two crashes. Greg Fombell, Johnson's attorney in both traffic cases, declined to speak about the case. Sam Lementato, Johnson's Champaign-based attorney in a lawsuit filed by one of the families, did not respond to requests for comment. Johnson was convicted September 28th of failure to yield at an intersection in the Macon crash, which killed 80-year-old Phil Jacobs of Decatur. His wife, Norma Jean Jacobs, was injured. The Macon County Sheriff's Office has said he was stopped on West Andrews Street Road and tried to continue west when his pickup collided with the couple's car. Jacobs, a former Herald and Review writer and photographer, died from the injuries 8 days later. The Jacobs family filed a lawsuit against Johnson October 12th in Macon County Circuit Court, alleging that he was negligent and seeking damages. It was dismissed without prejudice on July 13th. Attorney Bill Faber, who represents the Jacobs family, said that case has been resolved, but Norma Jacobs is still involved in litigation. Johnson's insurance coverage was limited, he said, so she is working to get underinsured motorist benefits to help pay for her medical bills. The Macon intersection has long been considered hazardous by community leaders and law enforcement, and several crashes have taken place there since the State Department of Transportation expanded the busy US 51 from 2 lanes to 4 in the early 2000s. Changes are set to come soon to the intersection design, as IDOT held an informational meeting on Thursday to explain the proposal and gather feedback for improvements to be made in 2019. Just about 7 weeks after his conviction in the Jacobs crash, Johnson was again cited in a fatal crash on U.S. 51 in DeWitt County. Randy Rice, DeWitt County coroner, said that Johnson was driving a grain-loaded semi-truck west on Autumn Road and crossed northbound traffic to head south on U.S. 51 toward Clinton. A car driven by Clinton couple Tony and Karen Hobble was traveling north on US 51 when the semi-truck crossed and collided with his trailer, Rice said. The Hobbles were pronounced dead at the scene at 5:58 p.m. Johnson was not hurt in either of the crashes. Records show Johnson entered a written plea of not guilty for charges of failure to obey a stop sign, driving without a safety belt, and driving with an overweight axle during the November 11th crash. He is set to return to DeWitt County Circuit Court on October 17th on those charges. Members of the Hobble family either declined or did not respond to requests for comment for this article. Johnson's license was revoked after the Herald and Review first reported on Johnson's involvement in both cases. Spokesman Harry Haupt had said Secretary of State Jesse White was prompted to act quickly after learning of the situation from the store. An investigator with the Secretary of State's office visited Johnson's home November 17th, Haupt said, and Johnson surrendered his license. But why didn't they happen after the first fatal crash? State law requires the Secretary of State's office to revoke the driver's license of anyone who is convicted of a moving violation that causes a crash and results in another person's death. Typically, the office notifies people by mail that they will lose their driving privileges 90 days after the date of the mailing notice. Under those rules, Johnson would not have lost his driving privileges before the November 11th crash. In this case, however, a lapse in communication meant that the process hadn't even started. More than a month after Johnson was convicted in Macon County Circuit Court, the 90-day clock was not yet ticking. Haupt previously said the office must first receive a report from IDOT indicating a fatality occurred before it can revoke someone's license. He said that didn't happen in this case until November 17th, when the Secretary of State's office asked for the report after the Herald and Review's reporting. IDOT spokeswoman Kelsey Gursky previously told the Herald and Review that the department received the original crash report of the September 4th crash on September 8th. A supplemental report noting that Jacobs had died was also needed for IDOT to mark it as a fatality. Gursky said IDOT made the complete report available for the Secretary of State's office to pull from its electronic submission system September 19th. Haupt characterized the delay as a unique situation. The agencies continue to communicate to ensure something like it doesn't happen again, he said in an email. The crash files are still sent electronically from IDOT to the Secretary of State, he wrote. The staff from the two agencies communicate often as part of an additional quality control measure in an effort to ensure crash reports are sent and received, especially when supplemental reports are filed. This next article from Decatur is on page 3 of the Herald and Review. Schools go into soft lockdown. Authorities threats prompted action at Durfee MacArthur. Students at Durfee Technology Magnet School at MacArthur High School were placed under a soft lockdown Thursday after a 29-year-old man sent threatening phone calls and text messages to another man. Macon County Sheriff's Lieutenant Jamie Belcher, in a news conference or news release, said deputies were called to Quality Inn and Suites, 134 Barnett Avenue in Forsyth, and were told by a hotel employee that the arrested man threatened to shoot him and his children if he didn't pay a debt that he owed. He was later arrested. After communicating with the Decatur Police Department, Belcher said, it was decided at 12:20 p.m. to place Durfee and MacArthur under soft lockdown for the safety of students and staff. Belcher could not say why those two schools were chosen for lockdown as an investigation is ongoing. Belcher said sheriff's deputies and police officers searched Decatur and Forsyth for the suspect and found him in the 1200 block of South Hilton Street at about 2:30 p.m. The man was arrested and booked into the Macon County Jail on preliminary charges of making a terrorist threat and felony harassment by electronic communication device, Belcher said. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Belcher said both Durfee and MacArthur were removed from lockdown after the man was arrested. He said no further information about the incident would be released Thursday afternoon. Decatur School District spokeswoman Maria Robertson said students and staff were safe during the lockdowns. Robertson said the lockdown measures require that students not be allowed outdoors. Students in the hallways are limited, and generally there is no traffic in or out of the building. Also on page 3, we have the following article. Police. Search yields various illegal drugs. Police said a 32-year-old man was arrested Wednesday after officers found cannabis, cocaine, ecstasy, and various pills during a search. A signed police affidavit said officers watched Doremus K. Johnson as he sat on the porch of a vacant residence in the 900 block of West Marietta Street. A man was seen walking onto the porch for a short period of time and then leaving, the affidavit said. Officers eventually approached Johnson and searched a backpack that he had with him, the affidavit said. The affidavit said that the backpack contained 438 grams of field-tested cannabis, 12.5 grams of field-tested powder cocaine, 93 tablets of suspected ecstasy, 23.5 suspected amphetamine pills, 80 suspected amprazolam sold under the brand name of Xanax, and one suspected pill of oxycodone, excuse me. There were also numerous plastic baggies, two electronic scales, and two cell phones in the backpack, the affidavit said. Johnson had a cell phone and $480 on him that police said were consistent with proceeds from street-level drug sales, the affidavit said. Johnson faces preliminary charges of manufacturing and delivering 15 grams of cocaine, manufacturing and delivering 30 to 100 grams of cannabis, and manufacturing and delivering controlled substances. He also faces preliminary charge of manufacturing and delivering controlled substances within 500 feet of a church. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Johnson was held in the Macon County Jail Thursday in lieu of a $100,000 bond. He is due in court for arraignment on September 18th. Also on this page, 3, penalties increase for texting while driving. People caught texting while driving will face stiffer penalties. Starting July 1, 2019, drivers in Illinois caught texting will be issued a moving violation that will go on their driving record. Anyone convicted of 3 moving violations in a 12-month period may have their license suspended. Under the current law that took effect in 2014, a first offense for texting while driving is a non-moving violation and doesn't affect a person's driving record. Secretary of State Jesse White said the law is needed because distracted driving has become a serious problem. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates at least 25% of crashes reported to police involve distracted driving. White says the new law Governor Bruce Rauner signed this week will make our roads safer. We'll now return to the front page with an article, an education article, Mount Zion upperclassmen ease freshman fears. If Link Crew had been around 2 years ago, Matthew Carpenter's first couple of days of freshman year would have run more smoothly. Now a junior, Matthew is one of the mentors who is ensuring that this year's Mount Zion High School freshmen make the transition from middle to high school with ease. School started on Thursday. When I was a freshman, I was very nervous, which is surprising because I don't get nervous very often, Matthew said. But as a freshman, I came into it pretty nervous, and I thought this would be a good opportunity to help out with younger kids and show them there's somebody that's here to help them have a great time their freshman year. Mount Zion has signed up to be part of the Link Crew, a national program designed to build relationships between older and younger students and among the freshmen, so they'll feel comfortable and have a sense of belonging right from the beginning. Freshman orientation this week, a few days before school started Thursday, included team building and getting to know you activities, as well as tours of the school and plenty of time to have fun. Students were placed in teams, and each team chose a theme. One group decided to be chefs and even made themselves false mustaches to wear. Another was a slumber party theme and carried blankets. Secondary counselor Adrienne Moody was trained at her previous school to use the program. The whole goal is to help freshmen transition into high school and to change the relationship the freshmen have with upperclassmen and with high school in general, Moody said. It's generally accepted that the upperclassmen will be a little hard on the freshmen, who are, after all, at the bottom of the high school pecking order. But this program creates supportive friendships between them instead, said Elisa Lewis, academic liaison. Anti-bullying lessons are incorporated into the orientation, and the upperclassmen are chosen from among all groups of students, not just the popular active kids. The adults make sure to include students from all interest groups so that all the freshmen would find someone to relate to. The message is, we want them coming in knowing that not only do they have a bunch of teachers who care about them, but they have upperclassmen students that care about them and are there to help them and support them, Moody said. Mount Zion already had a strong freshman orientation program offering to incoming freshmen in February, Lewis said, where they come in and meet teachers and learn about extracurricular activities. But the piece that was missing was building relationships, she added. We tried very hard to make sure we weren't only picking kids to be mentors that are the kids who get picked for everything. She said, we ask our teachers to recommend students that come to mind and to also think about the student who maybe isn't on the football field or the cheerleader or the class president or National Honor Society. In a district like Mount Zion, a lot of the students have gone to school together since kindergarten, Lewis said, but that doesn't mean they actually know all their classmates. After mixing them up during preliminary activities to put to kids together who might not be friends otherwise, the adults ask them how many had talked to someone they never talked to before, and almost every hand went up. The event drew nearly the entire freshman class, as well with 153 students out of the 176 in attendance. As the year goes on, several social events are planned to keep the freshmen and their mentors connected. Gwen Bender said she was feeling much more confident about high school thanks to Link Crew. She was a little worried about high school and that upperclassmen would be mean to the freshmen, but not any longer. They're very helpful in telling us how to be prepared for high school, she said. They're telling us how our organization needs to be. My group leaders were a boy and a girl, and the way the boy did it was very different from the way the girl did it. They helped us with teachers, too. I feel like when we first got together with our group, they helped us get more comfortable with each other. By the end, we were all talking to each other like it's nothing, when at the beginning, we were all sitting there only talking to the people we knew. Sounds like a good program. On page 4 today of the Herald and Review, we have an article entitled Woman Injured During Home Invasion. A 24-year-old man faces a preliminary home invasion charge after police said he forced his way into a woman's house and attacked her Wednesday night. A signed police affidavit said officers were called to a house in the 2000 block of East William Street about 10:20 p.m. The woman told police that she was sitting on her front porch when the man, who she knows, approached her house, and she told him that she didn't want to talk to him, the affidavit said. The woman ran into the house and tried to lock the door, but the man forced his way inside, the affidavit said. The man then punched the woman in the mouth, slapped her in the face, grabbed her by the hair, and threw her to the ground, the affidavit said. The woman told police that the man also bit her on the hip, punched her in the face twice more, and continued to pull her hair, the affidavit said. Officers said the woman was bleeding from her lower lip and had a bite mark on her right hip, the affidavit said. The man was being held in the Macon County Jail on Thursday in lieu of $75,000 bond. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. On page 5, from the dialogue section or opinion section, we have something called Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down from the Herald and Review editorial board. Thumbs Up to Mary Cole. The Decatur dentist is one of fewer than 5,000 runners who have completed marathons in each state in the United States. Even more impressive is the 45-year-old has set an 8-year goal to accomplish the feat. She finished in 2 years and 9 months. The words crazy and maniac have become compliments, she told Herald and Review reporter Donette Beckett. We'll add inspiring and incredible. Thumbs down to violence on our streets. August has already been trying with stabbing, shootings, fisticuffs, and other violence, including a death that prompted a vigil this week. Whenever violence seems to quiet down, it suddenly rises again. We need to do better. Thumbs up to the Decatur School District's new 5-year plan. A revised plan has been overdue and a goal of the current school board. The plan includes 5 strategy points aimed at improving the district's accountability and student success. And that's every citizen, really, must hold the leadership to exacting standards to accomplish those strategy points. And finally, thumbs down to Google. This is a company whose motto once was, "Don't be evil," and was changed in 2016 to "Do the right thing." Unfortunately, the company is doing neither. This week's intrusive technology news is many Google services record your movements even when you explicitly tell them not to. Disappointingly and frustratingly, we're realizing that the new bosses are no different from the old bosses, and the new technology bosses are evasive. We again remind ourselves and others that when you don't know what the product is, it's generally you. Walk softly and be alert in cyberspace. And that ends the first half. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, August 17th.